Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
We're glad to be joined by play-by-play voice of the TCU Horned Frogs. Brian Estridge joins us via the Hobson and Hobson News Maker line. Brian, thank you for joining us this morning here in Atlanta on The Fan. How you doing this fine, fine Tuesday morning?
Gentlemen, it is an honor and a pleasure. Looking forward to what promises to be a great game on Monday. I think it's one that the eyes of the nation will be turned to. So many storylines. I hope we got an hour here to kill. Let's go.
Well, we got about 45 minutes left. So as long as you want to go, we can roll. I think we have to take one commercial break. When did you know this TCU team was special? Because they were picked 7th in the Big 12, 5-7 a year ago. And now here all of a sudden you're looking for a national championship.
Yeah, it had to be the Oklahoma game. I mean, obviously Oklahoma wasn't what folks thought they were going to be this year. But when you dismantle the Sooners the way that TCU did early in the season, you know, that was what, week four, and the Frogs beat them 55-24. I mean, that really kind of set the tone, I think, for the entire year where you thought, okay, this is kind of a special group. And I think it was the way that they did it, guys. I mean, for the numbers that they put up, the success that TCU had, you know, and they did it in every game, every phase of the game. You know, Max Duggan threw for 302. You had two 100-yard rushers in that ball game. Tay Barber had 100 yards receiving. I mean, they really got it done in every phase. And so I think that was where we kind of knew, okay, this group's going to be pretty special. You felt there was something about them just as we spent every day with them during fall camp, that there was a confidence about this group. They had great leadership, you know, and how many times, fellas, have you seen that with teams where they got super talent but just don't have the leadership, and so things don't click? And this group just happens to have an experienced, older class. I'm not going to call it senior because who the hell knows who a senior is anymore in college football. But an older class that said, you know what, we're going to take this thing and we're going to run with it. And I tell you what, it's been pretty remarkable to see the success they've had.
Do you ever stop for a second and ask yourself and think, wow, how in the world and why is Max Duggan still at TCU? He starts, he's a starter last year, then gets benched, doesn't even start the year as the true number one starter, regains it, gets his job back, and leads TCU to a perfect regular season and a chance at a national title. Like, that just does not happen anymore in this era of quarterbacks in the transfer portal.
Yeah, I think that I think that would be natural if you didn't know Max. And you didn't know what he was made up of, and you didn't know where he came from, and you didn't know his history. I think if you didn't know any of that, yeah, that would be the natural reaction. But Max is from, you know, he's from Council Bluffs, Iowa, blue collar town. His dad was a football coach, and as he has said multiple times, folks from Council Bluffs don't quit. So he wasn't. He that's why he is in the game the way he is. You know, he doesn't care about time or field position. He doesn't quit. He never does. Never thinks they're out of it. And that's the way he was with this team. He wasn't going to quit on them, even though he lost the job. I mean, he said, hey, if I'm just handing out Gatorade bottles, that's fine. I'll get it done. I'm not going to quit. And so I think TCU is benefiting from that Council Bluffs kind of attitude.
When you look at TCU from afar, we've been watching towards the end of the season and certainly in the bowl games and your championship game. What are some of the misconceptions that you think are out there about TCU, even though they shouldn't have to prove anything to anybody at this point of the season?
The one thing I love about you guys is you guys do your homework. And so when I was doing Michigan radio last week, they hadn't done their homework. And they all talked about the fact that, hey, you know, you got the big Michigan offensive line, that'll dominate this game. And I reminded them, I said, the TCU offensive line is 3/4 inch and 17 pounds bigger than Michigan. You know, and so there's a preconceived notion that people have going into that ball game that, okay, out of the Big 12, it must be a finesse, soft, throw it all around the yard kind of team. That's not the case. So we got to move on from that. You know, that's like saying the SEC can't throw the football. We know they can. Georgia can throw the football. You know, it's like saying, oh, they just turn and toss it to Herschel every time. That's not the case anymore. This is an opportunity, I think, for TCU and the Big 12 to continue to kind of remake what the perception is of this league. It's a very physical league. It's a very athletic league. It's a fun league to watch because they do score. They do throw the ball around the yard. But they also play pretty dang good defense. You know, people look at that Michigan game and say, oh, TCU's defense gave up 45 points. Well, heck, they faced them in 18 drives. You know, Michigan had the football 18 times. I mean, you know, you look at the points per possession, that makes it a little more reasonable, you know. And everybody wants to brag about Texas and their running game. And TCU holds them to 20-something yards rushing with two NFL first-rounders at running back. So I think that's what TCU has been up against, and I think that's what TCU is going to continue to fight. And now they get a chance to do that on the national stage, obviously.
Brian, I know TCU's offense goes through Max Duggan, but outside of that, what do you think they want to do and establish somewhat an identity on offense? What would be that?
You know, it's interesting in that there's – again, a misconception. You know, you got Garrett Riley as your play caller, the younger brother of Lincoln Riley, and he and Sonny Dykes both are part of the Mike Leach tree, you know, the air raid tree. But this team wants to run the football, and they want to run it first. You know, Kendre Miller's a 1,300-yard rusher on the year. He's had a scoring touchdown in every game this year up until that last one against Michigan when he tweaked his knee a little bit. You know, Amari DiMicardo comes in relief of him, and what does he do? He runs for another 100 yards. That's the second time in his career. He just doesn't get enough carries. So they want to be physical. They want to run the football. Now, are they going to take their shots downfield? Heck, yeah, they're going to. But, you know, with Max Duggan, you get kind of the best of both worlds, a guy that can throw the deep ball, has been successful doing that, but also a guy that can run. And he's done that with authority. You know, I saw one stat from the Michigan game that he moved the chains with his feet 7 times against Michigan. You know, that tells you a little something, I think, about Max Duggan's game.
We look at the defensive side for TCU, and it's a different defense than typically Georgia's going to see. We were talking about this earlier, the 3-3-5 defense. I saw safety. You guys got some playmakers back there. Bud Clark can go get it. Who's some other people, though, that we need to watch for on the defensive side to try to take away some of what Georgia's doing?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of guys. I mean, obviously, D. Winters and Johnny Hodges are the two linebackers that are really the strength of this group. I mean, they are they're as good as you're going to find. I mean, they fly to the football. They're very physical. They're great in run support. They can cover guys out of the backfield. To me, the linebacking core has become the strength of this defense. I mean, and that's saying a lot when you got two guys at corner who are going to be high first-round picks. Who also are very physical. You know, that was the one thing, guys. You guys see it in the SEC. We see it in the Big 12. I don't think the Big 10's used to corners who will tackle and who come up and run support. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that TCU's corners will do when they were successful in doing against Michigan. So all of a sudden you got another man in the box there who can actually make a play and not just a guy who's taking up space. And so I think you know, you look at those two corners and Trey Hodges, Tomlinson, LaDainian's nephew, and Josh Newton. Those are guys that are going to play at the next level, the two linebackers that we talked about. And then don't lose sleep on Dylan Horton, the defensive end. He was a safety coming out of high school. He weighed 200 pounds. He goes about 275 now, and he still runs like he weighs 200, guys. And you saw him walk down J.J. a couple of times in that ball game in Arizona. I mean, he's a guy, you know, that had 4 sacks against Michigan. He's just a handful on the edge. And I know, obviously, Georgia's got great defensive ends, and so you see it every week in those games. But I think those would be the guys that you'd want to look out for.
How well do you expect TCU fan base to travel?
Yeah, great. Why? I mean, you know, again, there's a misconception that people have, you know, about, oh, well, it's a small private school. I'll give you an idea that the Fiesta Bowl folks told me that they sold more TCU tickets than Michigan tickets for that game. Also, the fact that one of the guys, the number two guy at the bowl game came up to me and he said, hey, your guys don't want to sit in the stands. I said, what? He said, you guys bought all the suites, and we got a waiting list for 24 groups that want suites for the Fiesta Bowl. That's the way TCU folks roll. It's got a multi-billion-dollar endowment. Obviously, there's a lot of folks who've been successful here in the state of Texas that are super supportive of this program. You know, they put $400 million in the football stadium, which is a palace. You know, they've supported this program through thick and thin. And so, don't worry, there'll be a little bit of purple there. for that championship game.
Play-by-play voice of the TCU Horned Frogs, Brian Estridge, joins us via the Hopton and Hopton Newsmaker line. The quarterbacks, similar but not the same stories. Guys who weren't playing. Guys you could count out. Guys who got the opportunity after somebody else got the opportunity. Both guys sitting down for Heisman Trophy, award flowers. What do you see from both of these quarterbacks? And from afar, what do you see in particular from Stetson Bennett that concerns you?
Well, I tell you what I love about it is they're both competitors. I love that they can will a team to victory. That these guys love playing for them. I love the emotion that they play with. I love the fact that they're students of the game. It's funny, Sonny Dykes at his press conference yesterday, we asked him about Stetson, and he said, I tell you what, I love the fact that when I met Stetson, I'm talking to he and Kirby, and all of a sudden they kind of turn and they start talking strategy. Even though they're at the Heisman Trophy ceremony, they were looking ahead to the next game and talking about, okay, how, what do we got to do? How can we be successful? That they were already doing that. And he said, that's what I love about them. They're students of the game. I mean, obviously Stetson and Max, I think have very similar games. I think that they can kind of do everything you need them to do. They're just flat out winners. And to me, that's what you want. You want guys that, the rest of the team wants to play for, that would run through a brick wall for, that don't panic in big games and are clutch. That's a word, I try to use around my kids, and I know you guys too, is, hey, just be clutch, man. If you're clutch, then everything else is cool. And I think both these guys are that.
Well, we certainly thank you for your time. Before we let you go, when you come into the locker room, and it's one of the beauties as men that we love about this show as brothers and as co-workers and as men in this room. One of the things we did from day one was make sure that we hold everybody accountable. And we're going to have to put you in a very uncomfortable place because you're going to have to critique another man who's in this room. Hudson Mason, who grew up in Georgia, who played at Georgia, was on the call for the Ohio State University of Georgia game and Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl in the semifinal game inside of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. He committed the ultimate sin, which is thou shalt not step on the play-by-play guy. We want you to listen, and we want to get your opinion as one of the top play-by-play men in the league.
Out of the hold of Jaden Fielding. Here's the snap. Hold down. Kick is away. Kick on the way. No good! No good! He missed from 50 yards, and the Georgia sideline erupts.
Does he get any slack, being that he is a former and always will be a Georgia Bulldog on that call?
The only thing that I could say was I'm surprised Scott didn't punch him in the head. It happens. You got to get excited. You're into it. You want it to happen. I totally get that, man. You're fired up about it. I don't blame you. I love the emotion of that. And we all kind of get wrapped up in that game. But you're right. I do have that rule that if my analyst steps on me, I'm going to punch him right in the where.
That's you. I think that comes with the contract in most guys who are color analysts.
Exactly. Hey, get ready because I'm going to punch you right there in the manhood.
Have you ever had that happen in the booth before where somebody just gets so excited they can't control, they can't help themselves?
Oh, yeah. One time. He doesn't work for us anymore.
That is awesome.
Well, we certainly thank you for your time.
Thanks, Brian.
We know there's a time difference out there. And, we wish you best of luck on the call. And we certainly are looking for things to go the way of the Bulldogs. But you guys have certainly had a fantastic, fun season. Likeable team, rootable quarterback, rootable coach. And no better example of how two teams have earned their way to the final game. So we wish you best of luck on the call.
Look forward to seeing you out there, fellas. Have a good trip.
All right.
There he is, play-by-play voice of the TCU Horned Frogs, Brian Estridge, joining us via the Hopson & Hopson Newsmaker line.
Somebody tell him we won't be there.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.